Welcome to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. We're so encouraged that you've joined us here today that we get to reveal the things, the awesome things the Lord is revealing to us, God's news behind the news, and so much more. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to BFN Radio. Yes, welcome to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Good morning. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning is the producer of BFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only, bright and shiny this morning, John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. What a night.
Huh.
Let me catch my breath. Oh, my goodness. So many things are going on. And we don't have time to talk about all the things that are going on. But it's exciting. Be encouraged. For the Lord thy God is with us. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We're going to be talking about just a moment that the suspects of the Boston bombing, one of them has been captured and actually killed in a gun shootout with the police department after killing a police officer. Mm-hmm. And another one, I believe, is surrounded as we speak. You know, we prayed yesterday for justice, I believe, on the air. And yep. And God has brought justice to the situation. And they are removing this. And we are going to have an interview for you from their uncle, because they're brothers. From their uncle, fresh this morning, as they begin, he begins to describe their journey, and it will really enlighten you that what happened. And the uncle says, you're going to hear him say that he was shocked to find out when they came back to him later on as they were growing up that that they became related to Islam.
Mm.
And he's saying, you know, we came here to be Americans. What just be the Americans that we came here to be. And he says, eventually you'll hear him say, he says, I just cut them off. He's talking about cutting them off at that point, because it was just, you're going to hear their uncle describe their situation. The brother of their father is going to be on the air today. Interview we have, but just this morning, this interview was given. We're going to be kind of converging some more this morning, because, terrorists, these Islamic, according to their uncles, terrorists, are from Russia.
Wow.
They're immigrants from Russia. One of them was 7 years old when they got here. And in the context of that, when you start converging everything, we're going to talk to you about is that, remember the Democratic National Convention, and we're all Americans. We're not Republicans. We're not independents. We're not Democrats. We're not even talking about that. But remember the convention when they said, we don't want God in our platform. They booed God. But behind them, there was this huge picture of this military Navy fleet.
Yeah.
Well, that Navy fleet, and you're going to be able to see this on The Torch. We're going to make this available to you on The Torch at VFNTV.com, all of this, was the Russian Navy. You don't accidentally, if you're running for the president to be commander in chief of the United States, put up the President Putin's Navy behind you when you're trying to run. You know what I'm saying? You just don't even do that.
United States.
Unless you're trying to send a message to Putin about the future plans of transformation. And also, I believe available for you is on The Torch. It'll be linked to that post. Is where our president and President Putin were together when he was running for election. He told President Putin that he'll have more. What was the word? More flexibility.
More flexibility. It was Medvedev.
Oh, Medvedev, which was the Putin puppet.
Exactly.
That reportedly that which was proven because when he pulled out, Putin got right back in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but he told him, he says, I will transmit this message to Vladimir, right?
Yeah. But he said, after the election, I'll have more flexibility. I'll have more flexibility.
And the flexibility is now we have Russian terrorists, Russian mm-hmm. Islamic terrorists in here. Remember, I told you that I was really concerned about those who comforted America, sending messages of comfort. And it's really cool that they are. But it's kind of like, weren't you trying to destroy us last week and now you're sending messages? And one of them was President Putin saying, we want to help out in whatever way we can.
Right.
You know, it's like, where did you come from? And you've never offered to help America, that, to mine, at least not on television.
Mm-hmm.
And and then to find out these guys are Russian immigrants and converted to Islam. And obviously they were, you know, used.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, justice looks like it's being served on the ones that did this, because they actually have video. You go to FBI.gov, and you can see the video of the suspects and the pictures of them. We have actually have them available for you right this moment on The Torch. You can go to The Torch, VFNTV.com, and click on The Torch, and you can watch live right now what's taking place in Boston of the... they had the house surrounded, and I believe they think the suspect is in that house. But you'll see, you can just hear firsthand. But hey, you know, we've been talking about that a storm is being formed against us. It's a sword is being brought against us, and when you think about Islam, as we talked about before, and you can find out on The Torch about the stories of Islam and understanding Islam, as we sought to understand it, and we compared the Bible to the Quran and what the Quran says about Jesus, and that he's not the Son of God, and that the only God is
Jesus.
Well, that's not what they say.
Oh, them. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, them. Them.
Those guys.
Yeah. And by the way, I just wanted every Muslim to know, as from our perspective, that the God that we serve loves Muslims.
That's right.
And will heal you and will save you and forgive you and to restore to you, not oppress you, not threaten you, not control you, not force you. He's a loving God that just says, follow me.
That's right.
And he has good things in store for us.
Mm-hmm.
And totally different than Muhammad and... Allah means, you know, God, but their God,
right.
A different God.
Yeah.
A different God.
Yep.
And once you meet Jesus, once you meet the true God through his son, Jesus Christ, just your eyes just open up. You just know, you're thinking, well, how can I intellectually, and you got to understand, he's real. So when you meet him, he comes into your heart, and all of a sudden you begin to see things you never saw before. And the biggest thing you begin to sense, and the first thing, you know, many Muslims that have found Christ experience is love. It's like, I never knew that God was about love.
Right.
And then you find out that God is love. And it's an amazing encounter to hear a testimony from a Muslim who finds Jesus as Lord. And but there was a gun shootout from reportedly, according to CBS News this morning, they shot I believe an MIT police officer and probably a guard police officer. What's it? State police officer, if it's MIT. And several times, and just stole his car and just took off. And that began the chase. And they got him at a certain point, and then there was a shootout. And you're going to hear right now an interview from their uncle that was just this morning. And we come back, we're going to be talking from this interview. We want you to hear how this is all converging. This is like one storyline. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up. And by the way, you're also going to hear today a CBN news report on God and Hitler and how that whole thing progressed to get to the point where JJ was in trouble. The Jews and Christians were in trouble. And it'll help us pay attention now not to repeat the mistakes of the past. But this is an interview right now, happened this morning, and the two suspects that were, one was shot and one is surrounded, understand, that reportedly, that he's talking to them right now about his nephews. And here now.
But right now we have an exclusive interview with the suspect's uncle. Our assignment manager, Joe Kuscher, tracked him down. Our managing editor, Peter Wilson, just spoke with him on the phone. Take a listen to this exclusive interview.
Jokard Sarnaev, he's a son of my brother.
And where does he live? What is he doing in Massachusetts? How long has he been here?
He came to the United States in early 2000. It was sometime 2001 when he was a kid. Since then, he's been, I'll tell you, he's been a really nice, quiet boy. So I have no relationship with them for a number of years. So last time I've been in Boston, maybe in 2005 or 2006. Then the latest I heard about Jokard, that he successfully completed his high school. He went to college somewhere, not in Boston, but more to somewhere. I mean, they never told me. My brother never told me where he studied, because I would say he's pretty much illiterate. So, doesn't speak well English. So, he never told me what that school was. But not Boston. Salisbury, something about that area. So this is the most I know about him. I mean, the latest.
And how old is he?
In college.
How old is he?
He's what? He's 19. He's about 19.
And this is your older brother's son, younger brother's
yes,
son.
Yes, my older brother's son.
And where is your nephew? Where is your brother? Is he in the
my
United States as
Enzor,
well?
My brother Enzor. His name Enzor. He's in Russia. He's in Dagestan. He lives with his wife in Russia.
Now, do you understand that your nephew is being hunted in connection with what's going on here related to the bombings in Boston?
Shocked me. You absolutely devastated me by this. I mean, understanding, it's not comprehensible. It's not comprehensible in our family.
Did you see the images of him on television yesterday?
I saw the pictures. Not him. No. I saw two pictures yesterday. But he rang no blue to whoever, I mean, I would ever know.
You didn't? Recognize him in the photos?
Just a sec. My wife brought me a... Just a sec. What?
And what can you tell me about the older brother, Tamerlan?
Tamerlan? Not much, really. Not much, really. Okay, so now I see the picture, yeah. I see the picture. It does look like him. This is, the two pictures I saw yesterday, they're a bit different, kind of from top. So now my wife just brought me this thing, and I see the face reminding him, at least when he was a kid. And the older brother, Tamerlan, I would call him a loser, you know, because as much as I remember, I expected from my brother that they would just finish school, go to college and all that. So I heard he's not been in school, I'm not even sure what he's been doing, so therefore I just cut with him.
So knowing now what you do, you're recognizing the photos there and understanding what happened earlier this week in Boston, what are your thoughts? What's going through your mind right now?
Oh, let's go to mine. I just wish they never existed. Oh, I'm wordless. I'm wordless. I am wordless. Shocked.
These brothers are wanted for killing three people and maiming dozens of others.
Come on, I mean, guys, I know. I've been just been watching it. I've been reading it. The people who did that, they do not deserve even existing on this earth. They do not deserve to exist on this earth. That's what I think. This thing.
What would have made him do this? Why would he have done this? Why would they have done this?
Paul, I've got no idea. I got no idea, Paul. I got no idea.
Have they ever been in trouble before?
Paul, I don't know. Paul, I've not been in touch with them for a number of years. Last time again, in 2009, maybe last time. And there was a 2009 when I spoke with Tamerlan. And we started when I just asked what he's doing, and he started telling me about that he's been in Islam. I told him, listen, Islam always been there. You just do your business, work, go to school, be useful, know why you came to America. That's, I remember, and I just, yeah, you, I'm sorry for my word, I mean, what language I said.
Their picture is hot.
Never ever, and so this is what I just cut with them. I mean, with that, the whole family, you know, they just been lies. But Johar, I mean, I remember him just being kid.
And you realize that one of your nephews is dead. He was killed in a gunfight with police.
Oh, of course, I do not realize anything. Who is killed? Who is that?
Tamerlan was killed in a gunfight with police overnight. After having been in a shootout with police.
Okay, so he deserved his. He deserved, absolutely deserved his. Paul, it's not easy to realize these things. As I said, I saw the two pictures, and I read them last night. I mean, I read the Gazette in Russian, and there were two kind of pictures. But now that Zelina showed me on AOL, that it is reminding very much that second of them, which says another on the run.
They are also accused of killing a police officer last night and critically wounding another.
Oh.
Tamerlan was killed in the gunfight.
Tamerlan is killed in the gunfight, which is, Okay, so I'm not sympathizing to him, Paul. I'm not sympathizing. If that was some fight, I'm not sympathizing him. Oof, wait. Oh, yeah.
What in their background could have driven them to do this?
Paul, I cannot tell you that. You shocked me. I cannot tell you that. Their background, they've been refugees in this country. They've been refugees. They got their status as refugees. Refugees from war.
What would you say to the people of Massachusetts and, you know, runners from across the country and the world who came to Massachusetts? Had this attack brought on them as a result of these two brothers.
Since these people do have association with me through blood, I was saying this is barbarians. Barbarians, whoever they are. For people, listen, what can I say for people who perish, who were murdered? Sympathy. Condolences. Then I'm with them. And if some one of them may just send their curses on me, I'm ready to accept it. Because I'm associated with them. I mean, I'm talking about the two involved. What else can I say? What else normal person can say?
All right. tonight. You're listening to an unbelievable interview done by our managing editor, Peter Wilson, with the suspect's uncle there that we've tracked down. And he had some amazing things to say, calling the older brother, Tamerlan, a loser, and that he deserved what happened to him. But he was also saying he wished that these guys never existed. He's just wordless and shocked. And he did give us a little bit more information about these two brothers. They are the son of his older brother. They came to the U.S. in the early, in 2001. Nice, quiet boy, talking about Jokar. He went to college, not in Boston, was a good student, 19 years old. The parents, though, he clarified, are back in Russia. So when we were looking at the streets of Cambridge where we thought the parents may have lived, the uncle was saying that they're back in Russia now, but just a raw emotional interview from the uncle of these two brothers.
This is so important, is that you're hearing firsthand this morning, as I believe it's CBN News reporting that they had an interview with the uncle of two of the suspects that are brothers. And you heard firsthand too that he was shocked.
Yeah,
but yeah, he knew the character of these boys. Mm-hmm. And this is so important. This interview is so important because we got to immediately don't go there and put people in the same box, you know, mm-hmm. right at the front. Just because somebody's the same nationality doesn't mean they're the same character. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody's had actually raised a family, you know that everybody in that family is different. They have their own opinion. Right. They can do whatever they want to do. And the second thing is family. You know, just because someone's family to these two suspects, you're hearing the man firsthand, shocked.
Yeah.
Just shocked. And he's well,
if you remember during the Newtown shooting, the massacre,
yeah.
that they were the other brother, the older brother, had to put out a Facebook and say, hey, it's not me. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
my brother.
Yeah.
You know, that poor guy could have been hurt.
Right, right, right. And so we're finding out in the interview about how these young boys were in Islam and talking about jihad. Mm. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. And then we're looking at God's news behind the news. So we have so many things we're going to share with you in this. And you listen to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Does a federal employee have the right to read the Bible during their free time in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the NWR Boys and Girls Club of America. I work in the military base there. And they don't have somebody to work their front desk. And I've been filling in for them. And they told me that I just sit there, say hi to the parents, and answer the phones. And I'm allowed to bring music, or I'm allowed to bring a book or something. And I had my electronic Bible sitting there on the desk. And one of the military men told me that someone had gotten fired for that before, and I better be careful. Is what I'm doing against the law?
It's not against the law at all. And I'll get some of our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and our legal staff to talk to you. The Bible's not a banned book on a military base. That's a really big overreaction on the issue, and they're clearly not giving you the law correctly. You have the right to have your Bible there during free time without any problem.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He uh-huh. says, when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's uh-huh. You don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by uh-huh. the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. Mm-hmm. And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around in Jerusalem. And it's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is anybody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason, they didn't run the apostles off. So uh-huh. the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop
a nation. If you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about how what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king, and they said, oh, my goodness, and they say, I know, and they receive him, and then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart, and now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope and understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled.
Right.
You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org. And request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church and that the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church.
You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about the justice that's being served. It looks like in Boston where one of the suspects was in a gun shootout and he is now dead for the Boston Marathon bombing. But also one of them appears to surround. You can find out more of this live coverage on The Torch. You go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch, and CBN News is broadcasting live right there. They have a live feed. It's not a it's a feed of what's happening right there at the time. What we just what you just heard, if you missed it, is these two particular suspects, and I believe there's more, they're reportedly more, were brothers. And what their uncle, who was in this interview, and you can hear it, you can go back and hear it again, is shocked. But yeah, he knew their character early on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there was war going on in Russia. There are Russian immigrants that came over because of war. This is what he's saying. And they just wouldn't progress. They were illiterate. They wouldn't learn English. And this is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And then they came over to visit him, you know, 2000, whatever, and said, we are now in Islam, and talked about jihad, and he's like, "What is this? Islam's been around. Well, you know, you just need to do what we came over to be Americans.
Do good.
Go to work. Go to school. And what we're saying before the break is, don't put his uncle and other people of that are Russian in the same category. Realize that people can do things individually." And we need to be able to deal with justice needs to be served individually. and just like rights or individual rights. Mm-hmm. And they talked about jihad. They talked about jihad, which, by the way, you can go to the Torch and listen to Islam 101, Muslim Brotherhood 101. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple explanation, rapid whiteboard explanation, quickly. It just, you don't have to, it'll take a ton of time. And within 3 minutes, 4 minutes, you're going to understand the Muslim Brotherhood and radical Islam. And one of their very platforms is jihad, which is holy war. And they would see what took place in Boston as a positive thing. They wouldn't see it as a negative thing because that's jihad. That is jihad. And anybody that's not Islamic, they're not Muslim, then they're infidels. Mm-hmm. And it's either convert, enter into servitude, or what? What does it say?
Die, right?
Die.
Off the head.
Off with the head. And that's what the Quran says, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see that also. You can see the comparison of the two on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and type in Islam. You'll find a lot of things because we went on a journey. We wanted to find out ourselves.
That's right.
We didn't want to just kind of hear what people were saying. We need to learn because we want to find out what is, we understand the news, but what is God's news behind the news? What is the perspective? What we found out is that Islam says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He has to come back and apologize for calling himself the Son of God. He's just a prophet, and there's only one God, and that God is Muhammad, is what they say. And, of course, they deny the Trinity, this amongst other things. But that right up the front, it's just a different God. It's not Jesus, you know? It's not Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of the Trinity. And there's no way to God outside through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's anti-Jesus or anti-Jesus Christ, or we would call it anti-Christ religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which the Pope, by the way, just prayed with, the first thing he did, Pope Francis. I just heard today, by the way, on CBN News, this is the first Pope ever releasing the Vatican archives, making them all public. I just heard just fresh this morning.
Wow.
And about the atrocities, how they made a pact with, you might be hearing that possibly on today on BFN Radio, the source of it, CBN News. But they... they're going to reveal the fact that how the Catholic Church signed a covenant, some sort of agreement with Hitler. And Hitler totally duped the church.
Wow.
He totally duped the church. Well, he's going to release all this. He's going to release all these things that has happened. And there's been a lot of atrocities in the history. And it wasn't until just Pope John Paul recently, did they even acknowledge that Israel was a nation, remember?
Mm.
They didn't even acknowledge them as a nation until... I believe it was Pope John Paul. You're just shocked going, oh, they weren't, you know?
Right.
And, of course, the Catholic Church owns a lot of the holy sites, they call them. And when you go over there, they have their own authority.
In Israel.
Yeah. The same way in America, you would go to a First Nation territory, and they have total sovereignty over that territory, and they can do whatever they want to on it. Well, this is the same thing with the Catholic Church. They own those holy sites.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah. So they have their own government over it and all that. So, which just shows how humble Israel is when they're allowing all this stuff to happen in their borders and not just saying, you know.
Yeah, enough's enough.
Get out.
So what you heard was Russian, it looks like what they're reporting on the news, there were Russian, and you can see their face, you see their pictures. And the picture on the right that you see on the Torch right now is when that's this young guy's yearbook picture in high school. So that's what he used to look like. But on the left is what he looks like now. And then you're hearing his uncle in the interview, on the phone interview, say that, yeah, that's him. And, wow. You know, evil, you know, Satan looks for a vessel. He looks for a willing vessel. He has no authority on earth unless a human being who God has given authority here surrenders their authority to him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's people who just say, I want that, you know, and there's other people who are Christians that get into sin and they end up being controlled by that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you think about it. President Woodrow Wilson was a Christian. You know, he was Presbyterian. At his father's deathbed, he was singing Christian songs over him. Mm. But the things that he brought to pass is today the United Nations and all these different things that's taken place. And just because it's good doesn't mean it's necessarily God. And at that point was making a covenant with unholy nations. Once you got to the United Nations, that's sort of like saying, Israel saying, we're going to make a round table and we're going to discuss God's policies with
Iran
or the Antichrist. We're going to also bring in, you know, the Philistines and see what they have to say. Yeah. You know, he's like, he said, don't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the United Nations really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are. And so it looks like it's Russian. This is so significant now because do you have that Vladimir letter? Do you have the Vladimir letter?
I don't have the letter, but what I do have, just this week, President Obama, the Houston Chronicle that's reporting is saying that he wants to ease diplomatic tensions with Moscow, and had a letter hand delivered to Vladimir Putin to propose new ways for cooperation with Russian officials. And it's like, it was hand-delivered, you know?
Right.
I believe we have a clip on that. Do you want to hear that clip now?
No, this letter just happened recently, but the clip of what we have is when President Obama was meeting with several leaders, and this is when he's sitting down, there's an open mic, and where he's sitting down with Medvedev, which was a prime minister before Putin.
He was the president at that time, Russian president.
The president. And he says, just give me some more time. I'm in the middle of an election. Give me some more time. I need more flexibility
after the election.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is March 26, 2012. Yeah. Listen up.
President Obama was far from Washington today in South Korea for a summit with world leaders on nuclear security. But he couldn't escape presidential politics, not after a live microphone picked up a comment that he made to the Russian president. Senior White House correspondent Bill Plant is traveling with the president in Seoul tonight. Bill?
Scott, President Obama and outgoing Russian President Medvedev were still deep in conversation as cameras were ushered into the room. And President Obama was overheard giving Medvedev a very candid political assessment of his ability to deal with the major problems between the U.S. and Russia. All of the issues can be solved, the president told Medvedev, but he stressed that it was particularly important for incoming Russian President Vladimir Putin to give him space on the missile defense system, which the U.S. and NATO want to install in Europe.
This is my last election, basically.
Yeah.
After my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. Okay. I transmit this information to Vladimir and Medvedev.
Republican presidential contender Mitt Romney said the overheard remarks signaled that the president plans to cave to Russia on missile defense.
If you didn't hear that, I want to be able to read this. This is what they're saying. Of course, they got the writing in there. Let me get this for you.
Which the U.S. and NATO want to install in Europe.
This is my last election.
It says right here, it says, this is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility. That's what they're saying. Let me read the next one. I understand. I will transmit this information to Vladimir. That's like a flashback, isn't it? And I understand. He says, and I stand with you.
As he's tapping his leg.
Yeah. And he says, and I stand with you. So the president of Russia, the bear, by the way, the bear, the prophetic bear that's going to come down on Israel, according to prophecy, says, I stand with you. And our president tells, I mean, we're not going to talk about him bowing down to the Saudi king. We're not going to talk about these other things going on. And then he tells the president of the bear that I have more flexibility after the election. I won't have another election again. And then he says, I'll transmit that to Vladimir. And then he says, we stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Putin sends his sympathy when he's one of the ones that comforted America in making this open statement, which is kind of awkward. I mean, it's cool. It's good. But it's kind of like, if last week you were going to destroy us and this week you're talking about that. And then we're finding out it was Russian immigrants with Islam.
Yeah.
And a jihad. Listen up.
I transmit this information to Vladimir and Medvedev.
Republican president.
And that's what he says right there. And it's totally amazing you know, what's taking place. And we get back, we're going to talk about how during the Democratic National Convention, they had a pitcher behind them that was blown up maybe 30 feet, 40 feet by 40 feet, but it was of President, now Putin's Navy. It wasn't, he's running for commander in chief of America, but it seems like what's going on here with the bear? You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that, that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you work the good job. You went to school. You're married. You have a family. You have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you're supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all. It was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
When God begins to do something, he establishes it with more than one witness. As a matter of, you'll begin to hear, as it's amazing, like a choir of those who are listening to God. You'll hear them begin to cry out the same thing the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, you're going to have probably more naysayers in that type of situation. But listen, how could they know? How could they know what God's saying simultaneously? The very same thing, unless the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit revealed it to them.
Right.
You know, and there is hope for America. There is hope, but you're the hope. The church, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, there is a way, and it's a very specific way, to be able to bring America back to the cross, to bring it back to the cross. As a matter of fact, right now, Steve Hill's talking to Peter Wagner, and he's asking the very same question. What should the message be? I'll be right back.
What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival. And I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission, where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking.
You think about this. That's exactly what we're doing at VFN. It's a rapid church planting movement. Obviously, when you begin to move from what was to what is, it takes a while for everything to adjust, but it's like exponential growth. If you understand what God does, it takes a little bit. You know, Jesus started with his one, then he started with his three, he started with his 12, he had his 72, and it progressively grew. And the multitude we see today is because Jesus followed the Father. Are you ready to follow the Father and the leadership of the Son? Are you ready to lay down your life, get on the cross, and begin to say, you know what? It's a rapid church planting movement. It is the church, rightly related, rightly connected, discipled, functioning in the context of the Great Commission. But I'm telling you, I totally agree with Peter Wagner, and I totally agree with Steve Hill, that the hope for America is the church, because the hope of glory is Christ in you. And that's what bring it about. Listen, if you want to know more, go to vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. There's VFNU to train you up and launch you out. There's foundational aspects of building your basic discipleship in Jesus Christ. You know, getting and finding out what it's like to be family instead of an organization. Because listen, if we're going to move as family, you know, we got to be family. Family is what holds us together. You can't be an institution and family at the same time. It's called confinement. But you can be family. You're together because you want to be together, because you love God and you love each other. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. www.freetimeinthework.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking more about how Vladimir, President Putin, is offering comfort, was offering comfort the other day to America, and we're finding out that these were Russian immigrants that were in Boston, and you're starting to put all this together. Because you just heard right before the break that our president, and you understand God's news behind the news. What's God's word say about this? Well, Russia is considered the bear. When you understand, you read prophecy and says the bear is going to come down and make war with Israel. That's Russia. Mm-hmm. And everybody, it appears from our perspective and what we're seeing, that our current president is making friends with everybody that is against Israel, against the Jews and against the Christians. He's like befriending all these folks. Well, guys, remember this, that it doesn't end well. If you haven't read JJ, I heard JJ on VFN Torch, you got to go and search for JJ. That JJ stands for Jews and Jesus, the Jews and Christians. No matter what anybody tells you, you need to not, and don't even listen to what they say. See what they do. What is their response towards the Jews? What is their response towards Israel? What is their response towards Christians? Mm-hmm. What is their response towards the church? And you're going to find out today in the extra hour, you're going to hear a detailed report about God and Hitler and what his response was. And Hitler literally said he was a Christian. He was an altar boy in the Catholic Church. Mm. And he worked his way deceiving got them to buy into his election. But then he destroyed them and came in after them and then wrote his own Bible and sent it out and burned all the other Bibles and added like three or four new commandments to the Ten Commandments. And he was the God in the commandments. And then he created a song worshiping him as Lord that sang it in the schools. That's why so many people, when they saw the songs being sung to our president in the schools, are saying this is like a flashback. The kids shouldn't be singing, oh, hell, Obama, and these different things, you know. I mean, and he has nothing to do with that. I'm not saying he has something to do with it. You know, just because somebody gets freaky and starts supporting you, you know, you don't know that. But I know, right. But it's not good for, you know, schools to begin to worship anybody, you know, other than Jesus, mm-hmm. by the way. Yeah, but at least you got freedom of religion. You don't worship the president. We don't have a czar. You know, we don't have a pharaoh, and we don't have a king. Mm-hmm. And you know, pharaohs would set themselves up as God. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear this whole situation with and remember, pharaohs were over what? Egypt. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and find out, you know, the state of the nation, you can see this on VFN TV. The very first international speech of our president was done in
Egypt,
Cairo University in Egypt, mm-hmm. where he actually created a platform that brought the Muslim Brotherhood, who was banned prior to that, into power. This is all coming together. Listen, America. Listen, church, I truly believe that our current president is a set man by God. God, you know, gave us what we voted for, but we're not going to like what we get and the outcome of it. And, of course, everybody didn't vote, but the majority didn't vote one way or the other. And we're not telling you who to vote for or what, but we're just saying this, but that God touched the hearts of the people to put this man in because God was going to use this man to humble this country. And there's an orchestrated storm gathering around America to the point where It's being fundamentally transformed because of our pride and our arrogance and turning away from God. Now, I'm not talking about the whole nation. I'm talking about Christians, the people who call themselves believers and Christians of the church. And this is all available for you. You need to go to VFNTV.com and watch VFNTV. You're listening to the radio now, the prophetic teachings, where you can see the president himself say these things. You can see these things take place. And we're looking at God's perspective of what actually is happening here. Well, you know, getting an understanding of what's taking place in that all of a sudden that they're Russian Islamic terrorists that are over here.
Yeah.
But when you go back and you look at the Democratic National Convention that was there, and I don't believe there's any salvation in politics, so we're not any support of anything. These are Americans talking, is how I see it.
Yeah.
And you have the head of the DNC. He is talking here because they found out, they just found, this is actually live footage from a video, and you can see the video on the torch, but we're going to hear it, of I believe it was the mayor of LA.
Los Angeles.
And they said, people began to say, you took God out of the platform?
Mm-hmm.
And they began to make a nomination. We want God back in the platform. And so you have the whole delegates out there, right? And you're going to hear a American Arab stand up, and they begin to boo the fact that God is getting back into the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Of why it's not, they're not booing Allah, they're booing Jesus Christ. They don't want the Christian God. That's my perspective. But listen up, you'll be really shocked when you hear this.
Recognizes the delegate from Ohio,
and you're listening to Mayor Antonio, I can't pronounce his last name. We'll get it in a minute for you. Listen up.
Chair of the Platform Drafting Committee, former Governor Ted Strickland.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules to permit an amendment to the platform adopted by this convention last night.
Governor Strickland has made a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. Is there a second? A motion to suspend the rules to permit the amendment to the platform has been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a two-thirds vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a two-thirds affirmative vote to suspend the rules. Governor, would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the Platform Drafting Committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor, say aye. All those delegates opposed, say no. In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
I guess...
You've got a rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that.
You have to understand, you gotta put it out there, and then she comes and prophesies. You gotta let them do what they want to do. Listen up.
One more time. All those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service.
It's amazing. What you just saw was Americans booing God on their platform. But what you also saw, what you'll see on this, there'll be a link to this on this post that we're talking about, that it's on the torch. Go to VFNTV.com and type in DNC. And you see these Arab Americans, and you know that they're Arab Americans because they have a sign that says Arab American Democrats. And they're booing. You see them just booing in this video. But you also see them taking a picture of this minister because he stood up for God. They were like, we're going to get his picture. And I'm like, oh my goodness. You're supposed to, oh, this is a democracy. You know, this is a democracy. They had a right to be able to make that motion. Mm-hmm. And what the interesting thing was that there was more against putting God in the platform than for. And these are Americans. Don't think of them as Democrats. Think of them as these are our brothers and sisters and our neighbors who were there. And they said, we want God out of our platform. And now that's why we say we're in trouble. We have so much more to share with you. So many things are taking place. We're looking at God's news behind the news. You're listening to VFN Radio.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.